Welcome to the 3-Point Stance,
your weekly fantasy football podcast.
From Lightsaw Productions and the website of 1320WILS.com, I'm your host, Brad.
And I'm his brother, Jason. With us, as always, is our stat man, Honest Rob.
What's up, party people? I'm getting super excited. The season's just around the corner.
It's close.
It's close.
Very close.
Got me all excited, that's for sure. Up first today on the 3-Point Stance, we're going to talk about some guys who've changed value since even our draft. Last couple weeks, we've done a mock draft. Those should be posted on the website here. But we're going to talk about some guys who have changed in value even since that draft.
After that, we're going to talk about some rookies that have some value, maybe some rookies that you might want to actually look to take in the draft that could end up paying dividends in the end.
Yeah, rookies always a little risky. And then we're going to talk about some backup quarterbacks with some upside, some guys that have been being drafted as backups but may end up being your starting quarterback by the end of the season.
Especially depending on who you have as your starting quarterback.
Yep. All right, so to start things out here on the 3-Point Stance, we're going to talk about some guys near the top of the draft, first of all, that had some change in value since when we drafted them.
Yeah.
First up is Chris Johnson.
Wow.
Blew up on Twitter today, telling all the fake Tennessee fans to shut up, telling them that he didn't care or he could care less, you know, if they think he's being greedy.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't sound like he's ready to get into camp and start the season.
No, definitely not. I mean, and he's already missed the entire training camp. He hasn't played any game yet. And, you know, most drafts, he's still going top, you know, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he's got the skill there, but, I mean, when you miss training camps, it is going to have an effect on you, regardless. And he's still a young guy, you know.
Yeah, you always hear the term being in football shape.
Yeah.
And I think it takes a training camp or at least some practices with your team to get there,
yeah,
regardless of how you train in the offseason. And he hasn't even reported, I think, to the Tennessee facilities yet.
And, I mean, I got to be honest. I mean, I don't have him on any of my teams, but I'd be feeling a little uneasy at this point on if he's even going to play or not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your – everyone pretty much across the board – He was taken in your league in the first round. That's a first rounder that you don't have at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to freak you out a little bit.
I think if you want to roll the dice with Chris Johnson, like you think he's just going to be even, you know, worth it, even with all of these issues, I think you have to draft either Javon Ringer or Jamie Harper later in the draft.
I think something to think about, too, is where you're drafting. I think he could end up being a steal. Let's say you're ninth or tenth in a snake back draft.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have a chance to even get him on the bounce back.
Yeah,
you know, the 11th or 12th pick.
I could see that being a good pick, but from where he, you know, his average draft position, I'd say, is probably somewhere right around 3 or 4.
Yeah. Right now, and I don't think it should be.
Yeah, I think that's way too high for him the way that he's acting right now.
Here's the thing. If you already had your draft and you got Chris Johnson, what you need to do is get on the waiver wire, drop someone that you got on your team, and get Javon Ringer. That's the only way to be certain that you're going to have someone that's producing points.
Yeah,
you know?
Go ahead and get rid of that Randy Moss that's sitting on your roster. You know he's there.
He's there. He retired, people. Come on. So, yeah, Chris Johnson being the first person, obviously changing value. Another big name in the running backs, Arian Foster.
Yeah.
That was just today, really.
Yep.
His value changed. Posted on Twitter, this whole Twitter thing.
It's really just a bad idea.
Posted on Twitter a picture of an MRI he had. And the analysts at ESPN, who are doctors, were looking at it, saying that it looks really bad, that there's bleeding there and swelling and all types of stuff. And it's not looking like, from the MRI, that he's going to be ready to go by the first game.
Well, that's what the medical experts are saying. He's saying he's fine and that he's going to be good to start.
Why would you do that in the first place?
I have no idea.
Really?
I don't know what's going through your mind that you're going to post up a picture of your own MRI and say that, you know, in his actual quote is that, you know, the white stuff around this muscle in the medical world is called anti-awesomeness. That's what he posted.
So here's my question to you, Jason. Arian Foster pretty much going either number one or number two in most drafts, usually number two behind Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
Are you still drafting him at number two?
Definitely not. No.
Where is he dropping for you now? Where's the earliest you would take him?
Probably late first round. You know, I think you're probably going to be missing him for at least 1, maybe 2 weeks at the beginning of the season there. And then after that, there's no telling how long it could take for him to get back to his, you know, prime form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hamstring injuries like his are especially hard to come back from. You saw, you know, Ryan Matthews last year just kept injuring it. And you see this with a lot of players. They keep coming back to that same injury. It's hard to heal from.
That is true.
I don't know if he's going to be the same guy all season, but if he can be even half the season, you're going to want him, you know? So still
first round, just maybe not as high as he was going before.
Not two or three, that's for sure.
I would probably take him out, say, about five or six at this point.
Okay, I would go even later than that.
I would go about five or six. There's definitely about five or six people I'd rather have than him, especially just at running back.
Yeah.
But I think the risk with Foster, too, comes in that we know that he's not going to be playing to start.
Yeah.
We don't know about Chris Johnson. And a guy with Chris Johnson's talent could – we talked about him being, you know, out of camp. But he could come in – that guy could come in and not have done anything and still light it up.
That's true.
Foster, you know – it's not even as much a risk for the first couple of weeks as you know he's going to be impaired.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, he – by posting that picture, I mean, pretty much he was letting you know everything's not well, you know. So you got to know going into it that that's where it's at, you know. Whether it's going to stay that way or not, obviously we don't know.
Just stupid on Foster's part, if you ask me, though. Yeah. I don't know why you would do that. But because of the first two guys we've talked about, you know, having this dip in value, I think some guys that are going to see a bump in value who you should draft a little higher than they have been going are three running backs anyway. I've got Jamaal Charles, Ray Rice, and LeSean McCoy.
Okay.
I think those three guys bump up to sort of the 2, 3, 4 spots.
Yeah.
That you know, you kind of want to draft them there instead of where they have been going, which is late first round.
And Jamaal Charles, to me, it really goes back to how they use him. And it looks so far in the preseason like they're using him like they should. You know, last year you saw a lot more Thomas Jones. You're not seeing very much Thomas Jones at all. If a preseason is any indicator of how the season's going to look, I think Jamaal Charles is definitely looking good. Ray Rice. I've not been a fan of Ray Rice. You guys know this.
Mm-hmm.
However, I will say from what I've seen in the preseason without those other running backs there, he's the guy. You can't get. There's no way around it.
And that was the main knock on him last year. I mean, he'd get all the good production for his team, and then all of a sudden the touchdowns were just gone.
He'd get you to the 3 yard line, and then Willis McGahee would take it. You know,
or LaRon McClain. And both of those guys gone. I think he's up for a great season.
Yeah, and McCoy. Oh man, McCoy looks really good in the preseason.
Yeah.
He's going to get you the rushing yards, and this is the best part. He gets you the passing yards.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is, everyone's so focused on Vic, he could end up being a number one running back this year. I mean,
he could,
top three, I definitely see that.
He's definitely got the talent, that's for sure.
He's sneaky. He's a sneaky one.
You guys remember Brian Westbrook from 4 or 5 years ago? I think McCoy's setting up for that kind of career.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
Hopefully he'll be less injury prone than Brian Westbrook.
That kind of production, I should say.
Yeah.
So, and Michael Vick being there just helps him. So,
definitely.
You know. I would definitely look for those guys in your draft. Seem to be a little bit more of a safer bet at this point.
Yeah. One guy who I think does drop a little bit also in the running backs here is Cedric Benson. It looks like he went to jail today, I think, and is going to be serving a 20-day jail sentence. So he's going to be gone the first couple games of the season, probably.
Yeah. They were saying that he was going to go during the bye week, but I guess he changed his mind.
Yeah.
So.
Probably better to get it out of the way now anyway.
Go ahead.
I mean, so maybe look at Bernard Scott, I guess.
Yeah, in
that role. I mean,
you're really in trouble.
Yeah.
I would kind of stay away from all of Cincinnati if you could. But
and then the other players we want to talk about here, just two more, is Reggie Bush and Daniel Thomas. Yeah. There's some reports out of Miami that Reggie Bush is going to be getting at least as many carries, if not more, than Daniel Thomas to start out. And that's been sort of different than the depth chart to date anyway. So.
Yeah, they actually put him at the number one running back position. So Daniel Thomas is, I think, going to take a hit.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were taking him thinking he's going to be the guy in Miami, and he's not going to be the guy.
Yeah.
So.
and I think they're probably doing the right thing in Miami. I think he should take a hit. He hasn't been looking great this preseason.
And Reggie Bush has been looking phenomenal.
Yeah, and he's got the experience, too. Yeah. I mean, you want to go with an experienced back for your starter.
And he's playing with a chip on his shoulder, and I think it's paying dividends. So, maybe move Reggie Bush up on the list a little bit. Maybe move Daniel Thomas down the list a little bit.
I definitely agree with that. Moving on here on the three-point stance, we're going to get to some of our rookies with value for this season. Rookies typically, very risky to draft.
Yes.
In a league, especially a standard size league, a 10-team league.
Yeah.
But, these are some guys who are probably going to produce for you this year.
Yeah.
So starting out on that list is Alex Henry. He's the kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles, a very high-powered offense to begin with, and then you bring in, a young kicker. So
yeah, he's a rookie, set some NCAA records. That's why one of the reasons he's been going so high in the draft, other than the fact that he's with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But, when you're talking about someone that's setting records out of college and you put him on a high-powered offense, you're pretty much good to go.
Yeah, he should score some good points for you. And he went very high in the regular NFL draft, which is odd for a kicker.
Yeah. So
word for the wise here, too, if you play in a league where rookies are able to be capped or optioned for the next year, keep that in mind. Henry's on the Eagles, which, I mean, think about what they did for Akers. That guy was perennially in the top three kicking. And so you just kind of keep that in mind that you might be able to keep him for the next few years.
Yeah, definitely. If you have some sort of a keeper league, definitely a name to keep your eye on. Also, another rookie we want to keep our eye on, two rookie running backs that could contribute to their team, aren't necessarily starters or anything, but could start putting up some points, are Delone Carter there in Indianapolis, and also Kendall Hunter in San Francisco. So those guys, you know, under running backs that are typically very injury prone.
Yeah, and the thing about Carter is that a kind of a good stat that he's been getting, you know, feedback wise, is that he's been impressing people on a daily basis in camp, you know, and that's something good when your coaches are coming out and saying, hey, this guy's impressing us, and you are behind someone that's injury prone. I think Donald Brown has dropped down to number three on that in the depth chart, and Joseph Addai, he gets injured every season.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a surprise if he gets injured. It's a surprise if he doesn't get injured. So, you know, and when you got a backup like that, and also when you have someone that's injury prone, there's also a chance that they're going to split carries anyway, just because they want to try to cut back, you know, on the
injuries,
running. You know, running that guy so much. So, you know, might be able to probably can pick him up really late in the draft and might end up being the number one guy for you someday.
And I think you get the same kind of a situation there with Kendall Hunter. I mean, he came into camp and Anthony Dixon is sort of the backup there.
Yeah.
You know, now it looks like Kendall Hunter has taken over that second place role. So, I mean, obviously he's impressing the coaches as well, you know, climbing up the depth chart. And again, Frank Gore, I can't even remember the last time he's had a full season. So
It doesn't happen.
I think it's been since 2006.
So we're talking 4 or 5 seasons, you know.
Been a while. So these, you know, you're taking a flyer with them, but it could end up paying dividends in the end. You know, we're not telling you to take these guys 4th, 5th round. Don't get crazy with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, later in the round, you know, you might want to go ahead if you're setting up for next year. Or, you know, you really believe that, you know, these people are injury prone, the Frank Gores and the Joseph Addais of the world, which I do, you know, you can get some value there for sure.
And the last running back we're going to talk about is Mark Ingram. Should have some value, not necessarily because the starter has injury issues, but just because there's not necessarily a big starter in front of him. I mean, Pierre Thomas is probably on the depth chart the number one guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, all the talk out of New Orleans is that there's going to be a pretty even split of the carries. And Mark Ingram is probably the more safe bet for goal line looks.
Yeah. So. And I mean, he's a bigger guy. He's a faster guy. I mean, if you watched him at any point during college, I mean, he won the Heisman for a reason. The guy is good. Real good. So, you know, I'm still thinking I've seen him go pretty high in some drafts. I'm not maybe as high on him as some of the other people, but, you know, I'm saying if you got your you know, running back positions filled out, you know, you got two or three, you know, then, yeah, I would definitely say grab Ingram.
I think he's definitely going to produce some for you this year. Again, not exactly a real high-round draft pick, unless you're in some sort of a keeper league.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, if you're looking for somebody down the depth chart who's going to get you some points, I think Mark Ingram is a good guy to go with.
Definitely.
Switching positions here, we're going to talk about a wide receiver here, Julio Jones.
Julio.
As I was saying, Julio Jones for the Atlanta Falcons has looked pretty good this preseason, and the good thing about him is that he's not going to get any double teams.
No.
Because all the double teams are going to go toward Roddy White.
And he is an extremely talented wide receiver. Mm-hmm. There's just no way around it. He's got great hands. He's not necessarily a speedy guy, but he's smart. He runs good routes. And he's done good in the preseason, you know. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the foreshadowing of what's going to happen during the season, because you know people are going to be focusing on Roddy White. And Roddy White's still going to do his thing.
Oh, yeah.
But now you have someone else on the other side of the field that can catch the balls, got good talent. I mean, he could end up being the steal of your draft.
Yeah, and let's not forget that Atlanta sold the farm to get this guy. I mean, they jumped up to number 6 in the NFL draft to get this guy. Like, they saw something in this kid. Yeah. So, I mean, they know what they're doing, and Julio Jones should be a big producer this year.
Yeah. And the last one we want to talk about, last rookie, Cam Newton. Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been really high on him. I am not one of those people.
Yeah, this is sort of a divergent one from what we've been doing. We've been talking about rookies with value. I think Cam Newton is sort of a rookie without value.
He's overvalued.
Yeah, I think you can probably leave him off of your draft sheet. He's been going pretty high in drafts because, and it looks like he will be the starting quarterback there in Carolina. Yeah. So he is going to get some points. But he just has not looked good this preseason.
If you take him as your starter, then please listen to us every week because you really need some help, and we'll try to walk you through it. But he should not be your starter. He hasn't looked good in the preseason. He has one touchdown that he ran for 16 yards. Congratulations. You got your first touchdown. I don't see it, you know?
Something to keep in mind, too, I think about we often talk about quarterback systems, and we talk about how great New England is. They can make an average guy into a phenomenal guy. I think we got the opposite problem at Carolina. here's the last few quarterbacks from Carolina. Jake DeLome, okay.
Who was decent for a little while, but definitely fell off at the
Jimmy
end.
Jimmy Clausen.
Oh.
What are you talking about? Clausen's awesome.
And now Cam Newton. I just don't see...
There was some Matt Moore in there, too.
Oh, yeah. See, utterly forgettable.
Wasn't there a Winky in there, too? A Chris Winky?
There might have been. Might have been a Chris Winky sighting.
Utterly forgettable. So just kind of keep that in mind. Carolina blows through quarterbacks. If this guy starts this beginning of the season, which is what it's looking like, I give him 8 games.
Here's my question to you guys. I'm going to pose. If you have a keeper league, does Cam Newton take an increase in value to you at all?
No, not starting with Carolina.
I think he takes a little bit of an increase in value to me just because this year I think he's going to be hurt a lot by the lockout. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get into camp, you don't get your playbooks, you don't get to practice with your guys.
Right.
You know, so I think that's what's holding him back a lot right now. Yeah. I think he will be better in the next few years. But again, as Rob was saying, he is with Carolina.
You know, best case scenario, he becomes your backup next year. Yeah. You know, that's going to do it for us here in segment one. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Segment two, we're going to talk about backup quarterbacks that you probably have a second string on your team, but might end up being the first string by the end of the season. So make sure you guys stay tuned for segment two.